The Service Master Story is the name of a new book, and the subtitle is very interesting, Navigating Tension Between People and Profit. The author of the book is named Albert Erisman, and he has taught at Gordon Conwell and also Seattle Pacific University. He's also the author of a book called The Accidental Executive, and he served as director of technology for the Boeing Company for 32 years. I'm Jerry Newcomb. This is Vocal Point. And Al, it's great to have you on the program. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you. Nice to be here.
Sure. Here's a great quote. Is this coming from you or is this coming from Service Master? You ready? Good business done to the glory of God has always been part of God's plan.
I think that came from the founder of Service Master. Yes, it's a part of the quote in the book.
Sure. Okay, tell us about this. And by the way, I must say that I went to Wheaton Graduate School, and I remember there was the Marion Wade Center, and he was the founder of Service Master. So he had made a donation to the school, and they had, in that particular Marion Wade Center, they had some stuff, memorabilia related to C.S. Lewis, including, as I recall, even this big old fuddy-duddy wardrobe, a wooden wardrobe. Yeah, yeah. And they said this is the very wardrobe that C.S. Lewis had in mind when he wrote his classic book, The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. All right, but go ahead and wax eloquent, if you would, on Marion Wade and the Service Master organization.
So Marion Wade was an interesting character. He, at the time of the Depression back in 1929, he was looking for work just to feed his family. He founded a company when the group he was working with went bankrupt. He putzed along for a period of time, and then he had a major accident in 1944. And because of that, he thought he might even be blind for the rest of his life. And he spent a lot of time praying about what God would have him do. And he came to see out of that experience that God had called him full time, but it was to business, and that he should be doing business to the glory of God, the very quote that you mentioned. It changed everything about the way he thought about his work. He set about to hire his next leaders. They were a company of about 8 to 10 people at that time. By the end of 2000, they had grown to a $6 billion company in 40 countries, still carrying the objectives, number one, to honor God in all we do, number two, to help people develop. And it was those two that played together around this idea of tension, because a business cannot succeed if it doesn't make a profit. But if a profit is the only reason for a business to succeed, then people become the utility of that business. And their goal was to hold these two in tension and to recognize that, yes, profit is important, but we need to be in the people development business. In fact, Peter Drucker, who looked at this company over the years, made this comment. They are not just in the services business where they did janitorial services, large contracts for hospitals. They did pest control and other things. You're in the people development business.
Hmm.
And even a Harvard professor did two case studies on this company and said, Service Master has cracked the code in the service industry.
Wow.
By giving their workers support and encouragement and development, they have changed the nature of their engagement in the work, and they have become the best, most admired, and most profitable service company in the world.
Isn't that amazing? And I know what the code is.
Yes.
It's Matthew 7:12. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. I mean, I'll bet you that Marion Wade put the golden rule into practice.
He did. And it actually goes further than that, because their first objective, to honor God in all we do, said, number one, we have a very high standard for ethics. Number two, it meant every person is an image bearer of God. That goes back to Genesis 1 and 2. And thirdly, it said all work is dignity, has dignity, and is worthy of respect. That goes back to Genesis 2, where God put human beings to work in the garden before sin.
Yeah,
He made us to work. And so they captured this in a way that they could communicate with a very diverse audience. And people loved working at ServiceMaster. And as a result, the company was very successful by almost any measure you want.
Yeah. Now, I have read some horror stories about some companies where people have worked for them, and they ended up getting hurt. And the way they had to meet certain deadlines, it was easy for them to get hurt. I don't want to name any names, but it's kind of the opposite of what you're talking about, in effect.
That's correct. And yet, because of the fact that you're a business and you have to be able to do your work with quality and be able to make money, what they did is ServiceMaster, unique among service companies, they had a research department to explore what does it really look like to scrub floors. Are there ways that we could improve the mop so that as a result, people wouldn't have to lean over and hurt their back, but they could stand up straight? Could we develop ways of cleaning solvents that would be environmentally safe, but that would also do a great job of cleaning in less time? So they had a research department that was looking at all of these things, and as a result, they were able to deliver very high value to customers, but also create a great place to work.
Yeah. Huh. Very interesting. What inspired you with both your business background? Well, I guess as an engineer, as a technology expert or whatever for the Boeing company, but then also you have taught both at Seattle Pacific University and then business ethics and so forth at Gordon Conwell. Right. That's very interesting. What was the germ of the idea for this book, to write a book about Marion Wade and ServiceMaster?
So there's several things that come together. One is that I have, ever since my days at Boeing, while I was there, I came to realize that God had called me to the Boeing company, and I was in full-time Christian service there. And the idea of connecting faith and work has been a passion of mine for a long, long time. In the magazine Ethics, which I did for a long period of time, I interviewed business leaders around the world, talking with them about how they brought good ethics to leadership and business. Through that, one of the interviews I did was with Bill Pollard, who was the fourth of the CEOs in succession at ServiceMaster. He contacted me about 3 years ago, and he just said, I think there needs to be a book on the history of the ServiceMaster company, and I think you're the one to write it. Would you do it? And I didn't have time at the time, and I tried to put him off, but I told him later that he had stolen real estate in my brain, because I'd gotten so engaged with the story and the things that he sent me, and I had no idea that I was getting into a three-year project. I ended up interviewing 70 people from different parts of the world.
Wow.
I ended up reading all their annual reports, reading books about the service industry, reading internal speeches, all sorts of things. And it was an incredibly interesting project.
Yeah, very interesting. This is a Christian-based company, obviously, ServiceMaster is.
Right. So the first five leaders were Christians, and everything they did was shaped by that. They had practices that demonstrated that commitment of faith, even as a publicly traded company, to carry to honor God in all we do was really impressive. An example of one of the ways they infused their faith in their work, every executive leader spent time on a mop. And the reason for doing that first of all, they wanted to understand the employees of the company and the work that they had to do, how difficult it was. But they also wanted to understand the life of an employee who is treated by society as invisible. And you know, often a janitor or a pest control person is just someone who does a job, but they're not noticed. And they got to experience that and shape their leadership and management. In fact, I think of it as an incarnational experience, much like Jesus came here to experience our lives and to be able to relate to us.
Yeah.
And
for many years, he served as a carpenter, you know, before his public ministry.
Absolutely. And throughout the practices, and I try and highlight a lot of these in the book, they infused what they had learned from the scripture into the way they did the work that they did. And the servant leadership is an example of that as well.
Does the company today still follow the same basic principles, or how does that work?
Sadly, in about 2001, they went outside the company. The fifth CEO had cancer and had to leave. Bill stepped in for a short period of time. They went outside. They brought in a new leader. And it began to emphasize and then accelerated more and more about profit. And the idea of acknowledging the worker was de-emphasized. And ultimately today on the corporate website, you won't see it. And so it really did change. One secular writer that I came across said, he appreciated the idea of bringing in an outside leader who could bring a new sense of modern management. But he said, I have to observe that since this happened, there has been more lawsuits against the company and declining financial performance.
Wow.
And he, one of the bright lights at the end is I found quite a number of people who had developed their leadership skills through ServiceMaster and are now serving in other parts of business and nonprofits around the world. And these people are carrying on the principles that they learned at ServiceMaster. So it's still very much alive in the lives of these leaders. And one of the reasons I wrote the book is I think it should be very much alive in any organization.
Sure.
In business for sure, but in other organizations as well, where this leadership style really does represent our Christian commitment.
You know, I can't help but think when you were describing the story then of ServiceMaster and the secularization part, it reminds me of what Cotton Mather, one of the great Puritans in the 1600s, and he wrote a book in 1704, The Great Works of Christ in America, and he said this sentence, "Religion begat prosperity, and the daughter hath consumed the mother." So, you know, that seems to happen over and over and over. And in fact, I think that's the history of America in one sentence. Religion begat prosperity, and the daughter hath consumed the mother. Okay, we have 1 minute left to go. What else would you like to say about Marion Wade and ServiceMaster?
You know, after Marion Wade, there were three leaders, Ken Hansen, Ken Wessner, and Bill Pollard. All three of those leaders graduated from Wheaton, and so there's a deep connection between Wheaton and ServiceMaster over those years. That's one of the reasons the Marion Wade Center is there, which I've visited. And so I think there's that very deep connection. I also think there are people that continue at ServiceMaster who are carrying this on, even if it doesn't have the same level of corporate support. The company just had yet another CEO who was fired for not making enough profit. And yet I go back to Ken Hansen, and I'll just say this at the end. He said, when you hold two things that are in tension with each other and you stretch them out, it's like stretching out an exercise band. You better hold on to both of them or it'll hit you in the face.
Wow.
Holding on to profit, you have to do. But don't let go of that emphasis on the worker, or you'll lose what you had.
Wow. Okay, Albert Arisman, thanks so much for being with us. Again, the name of the book is The ServiceMaster Story. Albert's website is ethics.org. Ethics is spelled ETHIX. Thanks so much for being with us. All the best.
Great. Thank you.